If you're looking for a Christmas gift for a child, grandchild, or godchild ages 2 through 7, purchase the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, Angel, Angel, What Do You See? Follow Mary and Joseph, the donkey, the innkeeper, and the shepherds to discover that this special baby is the Savior, born for you and me. Learn more about Angel, Angel, What Do You See? By calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or at issuesetc.org. Angel, Angel, What Do You See? You have heard the reasons, or we could call them excuses, justifications, for that couple. We love each other, but we want to make sure that we're really cut out for each other, so we're going to live together. Or maybe the reasons are financial, or maybe the reasons are it's not going to make a difference. We plan to get married. We're just going to take the convenient move here and cohabit until it's time to get married, and that'll save us money and all those kinds of things. And maybe, you know, we might have some kids before the wedding bells ring, and that's not going to hurt anybody because we could raise these children living together just as good as we could married. Is any of that true? What does the social science say about cohabitation before marriage? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. That's the subject of our next conversation with Peter Sprigg. He's Senior Fellow for Policy Studies for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. He is author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Most Americans Think Cohabitation is Fine, but that's not what social science says. Peter, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
What did this recent Pew study tell us about Americans' practice of cohabitation?
Well, perhaps not surprisingly, the practice of cohabitation is increasing. The data for the Pew study on the practice of cohabitation was drawn from federal government surveys done by the Census Bureau, actually. And perhaps the biggest headline was that among young people, that's between the ages of 18 and 44, the percentage of American adults who said they have ever cohabited with a partner was actually higher than the percentage of those who have ever married. 59% in that age group say that at some time in their life they have cohabited with a partner, whereas only 50% have ever been married. And this is the first time in American history that that's been true.
Does that mean that more people are currently cohabiting than are married?
No, it doesn't mean that, because, and this is one of the things that is maybe a little confusing about some of the data, but in terms of the total population, not just the young population, the percentage that are currently married still far exceeds the percentage that are currently cohabiting. 53% of American adults are currently married, while only 7% of adults are currently cohabiting. Now, that 7% figure is an increase from only 3% in 1995, but still it's far less than the percentage who are currently married. Now, the Pew study didn't really go into detail in explaining why that is so seemingly different from the previous finding we talked about. In my view, it may either reflect the fact that many people cohabit first and then marry, so they have a short period of cohabitation followed by a long period of marriage, or it may also reflect the fact that cohabiting relationships are less stable and thus much shorter than marriages, whereas marriages tend to be more long-lasting and therefore more people will be in a marriage at any given time.
What did the Pew study tell us about Americans' opinions regarding cohabitation?
Well, people are also becoming more adapted to and accepting of cohabitation. 69% said that, quote, it is acceptable for an unmarried couple to live together even if they don't plan to get married. So over two-thirds of Americans are fully accepting of premarital cohabitation. Now, 16% consider it acceptable only if the couple does plan to get married. But we at Family Research Council believe that biblical sexual ethic says that you should not live together or have sex before being married. Unfortunately for us, only 14% hold that view, that cohabitation with an unmarried romantic partner outside of marriage is never acceptable. Only 14%.
Many Americans assume that cohabitation before marriage makes the future marriage more stable. What's the truth about cohabitation before marriage?
Yes, well, I talked about in this piece in The Federalist how a lot of American, well, there at least some key perceptions that Americans have are simply not true. They don't match up with the research that we actually have available on outcomes, cohabitation outcomes. And this was not covered in the Pew study, but this is part of the reason I wrote this opinion piece for The Federalist, was to try to bring out these facts that Pew did not cover. According to the poll that the Pew Center took, nearly half of Americans believe that couples who live together before marriage have a better chance of having a successful marriage. And this view is even more prevalent among young adults aged 18 to 29. However, and only 13% of Americans believe cohabiting couples have a worse chance of having a successful marriage. But the reality, according to a lot of research, is that couples who cohabit before marriage are more likely to divorce, not less likely to divorce. This has been empirically tested, and a number of studies over the years have demonstrated this.
So those who believe that cohabitation makes no difference for the future marriage, doesn't have a negative impact on the future marriage, are also incorrect.
That's right. And we don't know exactly how to explain that, but my theory is that, you know, some people would argue, oh, cohabitation is practice for marriage. And like anything, you know, you'll be better at it if you practice before you do the real thing. Well, the problem with that is that cohabitation is not really practice for marriage. Marriage involves lifelong commitment. Cohabitation is practice for a lack of commitment. It's practice for keeping your options open. It's practice for bailing out if you decide you're not happy. And those are values that are completely contrary to the values necessary for a successful marriage.
So is it possible that people who view cohabitation as practice marriage really have kind of rewritten the idea of marriage to essentially be cohabitation with a fancy and very expensive ceremony kicking it off?
Well, this is the thing. Some people say there's no difference. I mean, I just recently heard of someone who said, I don't need a piece of paper. And that was their argument in favor of cohabitation. Well, the piece of paper is part of the indication that marriage is a social institution. Marriage is not just about the two people who choose to marry each other. It is when we take our vows, we take them publicly. And the public, the society, has an interest in the stability of marriage, not least because of the role that marriage plays in facilitating the procreation of the human race and the need that children have for a stable relationship between their mother and their father. So, but I think this may reflect sort of an individualistic mentality that we see in other areas as well with respect to the sexual revolution, the idea, kind of a radical personal autonomy that I have the right to do whatever I want and nobody else should have anything, you know, to say about it. Unfortunately, that doesn't lead to a strong and healthy society.
What do we know about the outcomes for children raised by cohabiting couples?
Right. Well, this is another area where people, according to this survey that was conducted by Pew, Americans believe that cohabiting couples raise children just as well as married couples. The 59% of Americans said cohabiting couples, quote, can raise children just as well as married couples, close quote. Now, I think asking the question about the parenting skills of these couples is not the most important question. The more important question is, what are the actual outcomes for the children, regardless of whatever skills they may have? And here again, we have an abundance of research showing that children raised by cohabiting parents, even if it's their biological mother and father, which other research shows is an advantage for children, but those who are raised by cohabiting parents rather than married parents do not do as well. They face a higher risk of a whole range of negative outcomes with respect to their education levels, their economic advancement, their behavior problems, and their health as well.
And you point out it's not as though the social science here is sparse or some sort of obscure corner of study. This is pretty mainstream, commonly accepted social science, isn't it?
Right. One of the articles I cited was by an article published last year by the Institute for Family Studies. They talked about the premarital cohabitation effect leading to a higher rates of divorce, and their statement was it has a long and storied history in family science. So it's not something that's really in dispute among people who have studied the issue.
Finally, then, why don't more Americans know the truth about cohabitation? Why are they so misinformed about it?
Well, I think they don't hear these messages. This is not something that they're taught in sex education classes in schools. It's not something that we hear from the media. Even in this case where the Pew Center, released this data about both the practice of cohabitation and American attitudes towards cohabitation, I had to write this piece in order to educate people about what the truth is about the prospects for these relationships prior to marriage, and also the prospects for children raised in these relationships. So that wasn't brought out in the Pew study, even though it got some media attention. So people are simply not being educated about this, and instead they're taking their education from the entertainment media and so forth, where you'll very rarely hear messages that emphasize the importance of marriage, and especially the importance of waiting until marriage to have sexual relations.
Peter Sprigg is Senior Fellow for Policy Studies for the Family Research Council based in Washington, D.C. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, "Most Americans Think Cohabitation is Fine, But That's Not What Social Science Says." You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Peter, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We have a series going with him, introducing the books of the Bible. Today, we're going to take up a painful letter from St. Paul, 2 Corinthians. He spends a lot of time in that book defending his apostleship, his ministry. He spends a lot of time warning the Corinthians that he might have to come to them again. We'll find out what's going on in Corinth that occasions this letter with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller next.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
We have 4 weeks left in 2019, and we need $125,000 to cover our expenses for the year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2019.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study Jesus healing a paralytic on the Sabbath. Jesus asserts his equality with God. Jesus raises the dead and judges. The witness to Jesus, and Jesus tells us to search the scriptures. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org, thewordendures.org.